This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Agon Erev Shabbos. It's a great honor to be here. I want to share with you this morning an approach to the parashiyos of Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudei, a revolutionary approach by focusing and studying some of the ingredients that were used in the creation of the Mishkan. We're familiar that there were a number of items in the Mishkan that were almost supernatural, that dated back in time, from time immemorial. Let's begin with the Briach HaTichain. We read about it in Truma. We read about it in this week's Parsha in Vayakel. The Pasuk says, V'habriach HaTichain b'soich HaKrashim. The middle bar, in middle of the planks, Mavriach min HaKotze HaKotze, ran through from one end to the other. Where did the Briach HaTichain come from? So, we're familiar with what it says in Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. By the way, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, which was not written by Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel. It's, the Achronim call it Targum HaMeyuchas LeYonasan ben Uziel. Yonasan ben Uziel, clearly from the Gemara Megillah, only wrote Targum on Nevi'im and Ksuvim. He did not write Ala Torah. The name Targum Yonasan ben Uziel was created by the printers in order to distinguish between Talmud Yerushalmi and another version of Talmud Yerushalmi, so they called it Yonasan ben Uziel. But it's an authentic Targum. He says, "V'nigra mitzia b'goy luchaya, mishaldeish mitziav l'siav min ilana, dinit save Avraham b'v'era d'shava." Where did it come from? It came from the tree that Amram Avinu planted, he set up in Be'er Sheva to house the Archim. So here we encounter an amazing tidbit that the Briach HaTichain was not ordinary wood. This came all the way back from Avraham Avinu. What's interesting is this is not the only item that was used to construct the Mishkan that dated back to the Avos HaKadoshim. There was another item that came from something prepared by the Avos. We know the Mishkan was built primarily based from the Krushim. The Pasuk says, V'yasisa es hakirashim la Mishkan. Rashi's bothered. What's hakirashim? It should say, V'yasisa kirashim. What does Rashi say? Me oisan ha'oimdinu miyuchadim lekach. From the special designated planks that Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'mitzrayim, that Yaakov Avinu planted in Mitzrayim, and when he passed away, he commanded his sons to carry these items with them. Now, why was it so important that the Mishkan be made out of krushim that were planted by Yaakov Avinu? Why did he have to be matriach his children to take his wood, schlep it out over the Yamsuf, and let them use any wood? Why did they need to use these items that were designated and prepared by the Avos? Where the Briach HaTichain came from Avram Avinu, where the krushim came from Yaakov Avinu. So you'll ask, "Nu, what about Yitzchak Avinu? Did Yitzchak Avinu have any contribution to the Beis HaMikdash?" And indeed he did. The Medrash in the Yalkut Shemini says that they actually completed the construction of the Mishkan when? On Chanukah, on Chaf Hei Kislev. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said, let's wait until Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu to inaugurate the Mishkan. So even though technically Yitzchak Avinu did not donate to the Mishkan, but his very birth ushered in, heralded in, the ultimate inauguration of the Mishkan. So we see that the Avos HaKadoshim played a very important role in the building of the Mishkan. The question is why? What would the connection be? Why would the Mishkan have to consist of items that came from the Avos HaKadoshim? So in order to understand this question, we have to have a deeper understanding on Sefer Shemos in general. The Ramban dubs Sefer Shemos Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. And once he gives it that name, the Ramban is bothered by the following question. The Ramban is troubled, what do you mean the Book of Geula? So then the book should end after B'Shalach. Or maybe after Yisroi, because maybe Klal Yisroel did not achieve the purpose of Geula until the Torah was given. But what's Truma doing there? What's Tetzaveh doing there? What are all these parshiyos doing there? And the Ramban says a very important yediya. Says Ramban, Lo nechshavu Yisrael geulim, Klal Yisroel were not considered redeemed until they were returned and reverted back to the Maila and the Madrega of the Avos HaKadoshim. Like the pasuk says, "V'zeh soid eloika alei oihel," the secret of Hashem's presence on the tent. In other words, what we see from the Ramban is that Sefer Shemois brings the world back to the level that the world was on in Bereishis. In Bereishis, the world was on a certain level. That level was the Ribbono Shel Olam rested his divine presence on the tent of Abraham and Sarah, on Yitzchak and Rivka. And then because of the situation, because of the Averos of the time, the Shekhinah departed, the Shekhinah left. We're going to see, the Medrash tells us that the Shekhinah went Lamala, Lamala from the Shiva Rekiyim. And not until the Shekhinah came back on the Mishkan were Klal Yisrael considered redeemed. So therefore, says the Ramban, that Shemois does not conclude until the donating of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and ultimately Sefer Shemois ends off. Ubiyois kavod Hashem mole oisai tamid. If you look in the last pasuk in Sefer Shemois, this gives us the clue to understand the entire Sefer. Sefer Shemois, we're going to read it next week. Usually Vayakel and Pekudei are together, but next week we're going to read Ki Anan Hashem al Hamishkan Yoimam Ve'esh Tia Laila Boy Le'enei Chabes Yisrael B'chol Maaseihem. And now, wonderful, we're back to the Madrega of the world where the Shekhinah rested on the tent of Avraham and Sarah. So even though technically they were redeemed in Mishalach, the full Geula was not experienced until the end of Sefer Shemois. So let's think about that. That means the whole purpose of the Mishkan. First of all, from here we learn a tremendous principle. If you were to ask, where is the Shekhinah primarily? Is it in a shul? Or where should the Shekhinah be? Is the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash? No, Be'ikr, the Shekhinah was in the tent of Abraham and Sarah. The Mishkan was just an attempt to cause the Shekhinah to return to Klal Yisrael, similar to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah. But the Ikr HaShras HaShekhinah was in the tent of Tzadikim, in the tent of a Tzadik V'Re'asai. I remember when I was a Bachar, I grew up in Flatbush. You know where Flatbush is? It's in a country called New York. Yeah? And actually, the New York is the name of the continent. The country is Brooklyn. And I grew up on M and 31st. I don't know if you know Flatbush. And as a Bachar, I used to walk to Rav Avigdor Miller, Zeches HaGlevracha. And this was one of his very important themes, that the Ikr Hashra'as HaShekhinah is in a house of a Jew more than a Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses is just an attempt to bring the Shekhinah into the home. The Ikr HaShras HaShekhinah is the Jewish home. The home is the main resting place of the Shekhinah. The purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shekhinah back the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah. So let's think for a moment. If the purpose of the Mishkan was to be a replica of the tent of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, now, says the Chikrei Lev, we understand why the Mishkan consisted of ingredients that came from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We understand why the Briach HaTichayin was from the Arazim of Avraham Avinu. We understand why the Krushim were from the Netiyos of Yaakov Avinu. Because the whole purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shekhinah back the way it was in the home of the Avos HaKadoshim. So you say, yeah, no, but what about the Imahos? Because the purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shekhinah back to the tent of the Avos V'Imahos. Did the Imahos have a chelek? So it's interesting, because let's think for a moment. What were some of the miraculous aspects of the Mishkan? You had the Ner Ma'aravi never extinguished. You had the bread of the Lechem Apanim that stayed fresh, Mishabbos to Shabbos. You had the Anan Hashem that was Shoira on the Mishkan. Well, that wasn't the first time these miracles appeared. Rashi tells us that when Yitzchak married Rivka, it says he brought her back Ha'ayela Sarah Imai. And Rashi says the Yitzchak was able to tell that this was a Mamala Makoima of his mother Sarah, because the bread stayed fresh from Shabbos to Shabbos, and the Neros were Dalak the whole week. By the way, it's interesting. You know, there's one thing women are very makbid about. This is like the biggest no-no for ladies. It's not really such a big deal, but drinking from Havdalah, right? That's like the big one of the cardinal sins for a woman, chas v'shalom, to drink from Havdalah. Now, it's important at the proper time to be able to dispel this misnomer. There is nothing wrong with a woman drinking from Havdalah. She doesn't need to, and in general, she shouldn't. But she should be aware that if need be, she absolutely can drink from the Havdalah. So for example, if for whatever reason, the husband's not around, she should make Havdalah herself and drink from it. Or if the husband was ready, Yoytze, let her make her own Havdalah and drink from. So what's this thing that ladies don't like to drink from Havdalah? So the Shla HaKadosh says, what? Right. There's a book like that, Growing a Beard from Havdalah and Other, you know, Other Witchcraft. And, you know, the reason is, the Shla HaKadosh brings down, that Chava was Mavdil between Adam and Hashem, so therefore she doesn't drink. But it's not Usur, it's not a Halacha, it's just, all things being equal, she doesn't drink from the Havdalah. But if she needs to be Yotz Havdalah, she should absolutely make it herself. But there's a Sefer, Shaila Sechuvas Mishnas Sachir, of Rabbi Sachar Doiv Teichtal. And there he has a Haskama from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says that in his opinion, the reason why women don't drink from the wine of Havdalah is because women, he says, why was it that in the tent of Sarah, the candle stayed lit from Shabbos to Shabbos? He says, women are on the Madrega that they're Davuk to Shabbos the whole week. For a woman, her whole week is connected to Shabbos. She's either, he doesn't say this, she's either cleaning up or preparing for the next Shabbos. Women live with Shabbos. So because they're so Davuk to Shabbos, they can't bring themselves to be mavdil from Shabbos, so they refrain from drinking from the wine of Havdalah. Be it as it may, so it comes out, when we look at the Mishkan was merely a replica, a semblance of the great Shekhinah that existed on the tent of Avraham and Sarah, namely all those miracles that occurred in the tent of Avraham and Sarah replicated themselves in the Mishkan. So this is the approach that I saw in the Sefer Chikrei Lev. Chikrei Lev was written by Rav Aryeh Leib Haiman. He has a very interesting sefer. And again, in a nutshell, the idea is the purpose of the Mishkan is to bring the world back to the Madrega of Shekhinah in the tent of Avraham and Sarah. And therefore we understand why many of the items that were donated indeed came from Avraham, from Yaakov. It was built on the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu. And many of the miracles were a replica of those miracles that took place in the tent of Abraham and Sarah. I would like to, based on this approach, take it to the next level. Because if we study carefully the items that were donated to the Mishkan, we'll notice they didn't just come from the Avos HaKadoshim, but we have a number of items that had an even more supernatural origin. Let's come to this week's parsha. Because I think it's said on the sign that we're talking about this week's parsha, right? You know, in America, I could get away with doing a different parsha because they're not so proper in America. But in England, if it says it's, you're going to speak about the parsha, you have to speak about the parsha, right? That's like the law. Okay, so I'm going to do that, don't worry. But I want everyone to be comfortable. Let's come to this week's parsha. We have a pasuk, Vahanasiyim Heviu Es Avnei Hashayham Ve Es Avnei Hamiluim Lo'efayt V'lachoshen Ve Es Haboisem Ve Es Hashomen. The Nasiyim brought the Avnei Shayham and the Avnei Miluim. So, what does this mean, the Nasiyim brought? Rashi says, literally, the Nasiyim were the ones who donated it. Rashi says that when it came to the Chanukas, when it came to donating the items, the Nasiyim said, yeah, whatever you guys don't bring, we're going to bring. They underestimated the generous spirit of the Jewish people. There's nothing left for them to bring. So what did they bring? They brought these special items, the Avnei Shayham and the Avnei Miluim. Rashi says, but that was not a proper approach. They should have come right away. And therefore, what letter is missing from the word Vahanasiyim? Yud. So perhaps it occurred to me, is there anything wrong with what the Nasiyim did? They didn't do anything wrong. They brought very expensive items. What was wrong is with what they thought, their machshava. You know, in Tikkunei Zayar, it brings the letter Yud denotes Machshava. So perhaps that's the reason why they're missing the letter Yud. Otherwise, you know, you could take out any letter. Why do we take out the letter Yud? What was Chasar was in their Machshava. However, in the Targum HaMeyuchas, Leonis and Ben Uziel, he says a different shot in V'hanasiyim Heviyu. Take a look at number 14 if you have a sheet. Says Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel, Va'anone Shemaya Ozlin Lepishain. The clouds of heaven. V'hanasiyim doesn't mean the leaders, the princes. Nasiyim means the clouds. The clouds went to Pishain. V'dalyon mitaman, they lifted up from there. Yas avne vorlevas chala, v'yas avne ashlamusa, the avne shayam, and the avne miluim. So in other words, the origins of the avne shayam and the avne miluim were clouds that came and took them from Mitzrayim. And not only, and then he continues, pasuk chafches, v'soyven anone shemaya, v'ozlin legan Eden. The clouds went to the Garden of Eden. V'nosvin mitaman, and they lifted from there, yas busma b'chira, v'shemen ha-mishcha, v'yas mishcha d'zeisa, the boisem, excuse me, and the shemen ha-mishcha, v'yas afarsma d'achya, and the pure afarsamayin. So Targum Yonis ben Uziel says, the shemen lamar, and the besom l'shemen ha-mishcha, v'lektaris sasamim, came from none other than Gan Eden. Why did it have to come from Gan Eden? Why couldn't they go to the local convenience store? What do they have here? I don't know. Excuse my, you know, 7-Eleven. I know they don't have that over there, right? Yeah. Walmart? They do have it?
Similar.
Mazel tov, Baruch Hashem. What?
They're in the desert.
They're in the desert. I mean, why do they need to come from Gan Eden? What's the yichus that these items came from Gan Eden? So now, according to Targum Yonis ben Uziel, the Avnei Shem Avnei Miluim came from Mitzrayim, and the Besamim, the Shemen HaMishcha, and the Ketar Sasamim, and the Shemen Lamar came from Gan Eden. But if you look in the Sefer Gematriyos of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he brings a medrash that the Mefarshim say we don't know his Makar, that not only did the clouds bring the Shemen Lamar, and the Besamim, Shemen HaMishcha, and the Ketar Sasamim, but the clouds also brought the Shemen the Avnei Shayam and the Avnei Miluim. So it comes out very interesting that the Mishkan not only consisted of ingredients from Avraham, from Yaakov, it also consisted of number and many ingredients that came from none other than Gan Eden itself. So following, by the way, I'm going to share with you a chida, an unbelievable chida. You know, there's a small discrepancy between Truma and Vayakel. In Shuma it says, Sahav v'chesef u'nechoshes u'secheles v'argaman v'soyla ha'shani v'sheish v'yizim v'oyroi selim adamim v'oyroi selashim v'asei shitim shemen lamar. What do you mean shemen? What happened to the vav? All the other donations have vavs. You ever notice that in Shuma? The 15 donations, by shemen, by the word shemen, there's no vav. In Vayakel, it's v'shemen lama'ar. What's the pshat? Says the Chida in the Sefer Nachal Kidumim, he heard from one of his relatives, Reb Ze'evi. He says something out of this world. In Truma, it says, v'zois ha'truma, it says, v'yikhu li teruma. Me'ez kolish, asher yedvenu libay, tikhu es terumasi, my truma. And then it says, v'zois ha-truma, asher tikhu me'itam, your truma. So who's giving it? God or the Jewish people? The answer is, yesh v'yesh. Some of the things the Jewish people gave. The Jewish people gave zahav, v'chesef, u'nechoshes, u'secheles, v'argaman, v'soyla ha-shani, v'sheish, v'oyroi selim adim, v'oyroi selashim, v'at seishitim. That's v'zois ha-truma asher tikhu me'itam. Me'itam. But what's the truma seed that I'm giving? That's shemen lama'ar that the Ribbono Shel'Olam gave. How did the Ribbono Shel'Olam gave? Go to Vayakel. In Vayakel, it's that these are the items that v'hanasiyim heviyu, the clouds brought them either from Mitzrayim or from Gan Eden. That's the reason for the missing vav. The mystery of the missing vav has been uncovered. So you'll ask, why in Vayakel is the Ravav. So I would say according to this chida, it's very beautiful. In Vayakel, just listing all the items that were brought, it doesn't differentiate between Truma, Si, and Asher Tikchu Me'itam. So it doesn't differentiate. It does have a Vav. In Truma, it breaks it up into two categories. So there's no Vav. So now we're learning, not only were there unusual and supernatural ingredients from the Avos HaKadoshim, there were even ingredients from Gan Eden. So I ask you, friends, why in the world did we need items from Gan Eden to build the Mishkan? So now let's take this Ramban and bring it to the next level. Because Ramban learns that the purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the world back to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah. But let's ask ourselves, because we know the Bahag says that Bereishis is a book 1 and Shemois is book 2. That really means Shemois should be bringing the world not only back to the way it was in the tent of Abraham and Sarah, but really it should be bringing the world back to the way it was Begane den mikadam. And in fact, the pasuk says that when the Mishkan was built, Vayehi biyayim Vayehi. The Medrash says whenever you see the word Vayehi, it means something was reverted to the way it was originally. What is this referring to? Says the Medrash, if you look at number 18, Davar Shahaya Ufasak V'chayzer L'kamoy Shahaya. That originally in the beginning of creation, the Shechina was Shoyra B'tachtoinim Shenemar V'yishmu Es Koyel Hashem Mishalech Bagon. Friends, in your Zechus, the following idea just occurred to me. Think about the parallel. When the Koyel Hashem emanated from the Kruvim, Bibein Shnei Kruvim, it was a replica of Vayishmu Es HaKoyel Elokim Mishalech Bagon. You know, when we read the Pasuk, Vayishmu Es Koyel Elokim Mishalech Bagon, we just say, oh, Hashem was calling out to them. No, the state of the world was that the voice of Hashem emanated from Gan Eden in such a powerful way that the Mishkan was just a replica of that. By the way, in Shir Hashirim Rabbah, it brings on the words Basi Lagani, that after the Shekhinah was in Gan Eden, because of the sin of Adam HaRishayin, Nistale Kashchina L'Rakia HaRishayin, and then because of Kayin, it went to the Rakia Sheni, and because of Bimei Enosh, it went to Shlishi, and the Dar HaMarbel went to Ravi, and the Dar HaMigdal Chamishi, Anshe Sedom Shishi, in Mitzrayim, it went up to Shvi, and then Avraham came down, and he brought it down a notch, and Yitzchak brought it down, and Yaakov brought it down, and finally, it did not return to there's this world until the day the Mishkan was built. So I'm very into the Chida. I feel a very close kesher with the Chida. Chida had a great-great-grandfather, Rav Avram Azulai, who he usually refers to as his grandfather. And someone actually once had the chutzpah to ask the Chida, stop calling him your grandfather. He's not your grandfather. He's your great-great-grandfather. I mean, imagine if I told my grandfather, you know, Rashi. But he is. He is my grandfather. He's probably your grandfather also. But, I mean, he's quite a few generations back. So the Chida wrote a tshuva justifying why he's allowed to refer to his great-great-grandfather as his grandfather. He brings many raiyos, you're allowed to do that. The Chesed Li'Avram paints the following picture. He says, originally Adam HaRishon was put in Gan Eden. Yeah? So why did he need the rest of the world? So he says, the rest of the world he needed for his uvdin d'chayil, for his mundane activities. Gan Eden was like his Beis HaMikdash, the Chesed Li'Avram says. Gan Eden was like the Beis HaMikdash of Adam HaRishayin. So we're starting to get an imagery that the purpose of the Mishkan was not just to bring the world back to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah, but is to recreate the original intention of creation where the Shekhinah rested in Gan Eden. Now I want to share something with you. This alone is worth the price of admission. When Hashem chased Adam HaRishon out of Gan Eden, do you remember the pasuk? Vayigoresh es ha'adam, vayashkein mikedem Gan Eden, es ha'kruvim, and they had lahad hamisapeches, and we think, oh, these kruvim, they were these very vicious, destructive angels standing there, brandishing their sword back and forth. Okay, that's how Rashi seems to learn. But if you look in Tana D'Bel Yo, number 23, Tana D'Bel Yo says, Vayashkein mikedem legan eden es hakruvim. Mikedem doesn't mean the east. Mikedem means before. Vayashkein mikedem legan eden melamed shehakruvim kadmu l'chol masa bereshis. The first act of creation was the kruvim. That's a good trivia question. What did Hashem create before Shemayim Va'aretz? The Kruvim of Gan Eden. And what were those Kruvim doing? Before the world was created, you had, you know, vicious Malachim waving their sword. Back to Targum, Hamayuchas, Leonis and Menuziel. Look at number 22. Utirad Yas Adam. Hashem chased out Adam. Min De'ashri Yikar Shchinte. From the place that Hashem rested Hishchina min lekadmin, from the beginning of time, bein train kruvaya, between the two kruvim and Gan Eden. According to Targum Yonis ben Uziel, these weren't destructive kruvim. Gan Eden was the Beis Hamikdash, and the Kol Hashem was Meshalich Bagan, and it rested on two kruvim. Gan Eden was an actual Mishkan, and the Shekhinah rested there. And that's why Hashem created them before the world, because that was Hashras HaShekhinah. And then because of the sin of Adam, it went up a notch. And then the sin of Enosh went up a notch, until finally they chased Hashem out. And now we understand, it comes out very beautiful, that the building of the Mishkan was not just a restoration of the Shekhinah to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah, but it was literally bringing the world back to the way the world was in Gan Eden Mikedem. So the end of Shemais, the Parshas we read now, bring the world back to the beginning of Bereishis. That's why Bereishis and Shemais are book 1 and book 2. Book 2 brings the world back to the way it was in the very beginning of book 1. It's a revolutionary understanding of the function of the Kruvim. We read these psukim and we maintain our, you know, the understanding of the Kruvim that we had, you know, when we were 6 years old. But that's not the actual meaning of the Kruvim. We should envision Gan Eden as a Makom Hashras HaShekhinah. And the function of the Kruvim is that was the Makom where the Shekhinah rested. And the Kol Hashem Meshalech Bagan was like the voice emanating Mibein Shnei HaKruvim in the Mishkan itself. And now I think we understand why it was important that the items donated to the Mishkan not only came from the Avos, but came from Gan Eden. Now we understand why V'hanasiyim heviyu, the Avnei Shoyham, and the Avnei Miluim, and the Shemen Lamar, and the Mesam and the Shemen HaMishcha, why all of these items came, mamish, from Gan Eden itself, because that's the whole purpose of the Mishkan, to bring the world back to Gan Eden. Do you remember the Mishnah in Avos, that 10 miracles took place every day in the Beis HaMikdash? Some of them were, no woman miscarried, the meat didn't rot, there were no flies. The Chassid Yavetz, not to be confused with Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Yavetz, here, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was Yaakov ben Tzvi, Yavetz. The Chassid Yavetz is Yitain Eitza Be'es Tzara. He was one of the Gerushei Svarad. He explains that these 10 miracles were because when Hashem created the world originally, Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, there was no death, there was no decomposition, there was no degeneration, nothing. Everything was preserved. And even though that state and that existence ceased, there was one small area in the world that preserved the supernatural state of being where nothing decomposes and nothing degenerates the way the world was before the sin of Adam HaRishon, and that is the Mikdash, the Chassid Yavetz says, was a little self-enclosed area where the existence remained in the way it was before the sin of Adam HaRishon. So again, we see this idea that the Beis HaMikdash was literally a restoration of the way things were before the sin of Adam HaRishon. And now we understand the deeper meaning of the Medrash, that we say at the end of Megillah Seicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kekadem. The Medrash says, what do you mean Kekadem? We think it means Hashem, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, bring things back the way they were when the Beis HaMikdash stood. No, says the Medrash, Chadesh Yameinu Kekadem, Ka'adam Harishayin B'gan Eden Mikadem. Why at the end of Eicha, when we're mourning the Beis HaMikdash, are we asking Hashem to bring things back to the way it was in Gan Eden Mikadem? What does Adam Harishon got to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? But according to this approach, it's crystal clear. The whole purpose of the Mishkan and the Mikdash was to create an enclosed area in the world where the existence of Adam Harishon before the sin was preserved. So therefore we're mispalel, Ribbono Shel Olam, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash so you could restore the world to the way it was, mamish, b'gan eden mikadem. So we read Parshiyos Vayakel Pekudei, we read about Vahanasiyim Heviyu, and we see the beautiful symmetry of Taraseinu HaKadosha, that whatever was lost from the greatness and the grandeur of Avraham and Sarah, but even more than that, whatever was lost from the very beginning of Bereishis, Bez Hashem, by the end of next week, the world reverts back to the way it was in the very beginning, and Vayikra is, so to speak, a very new beginning. That's where children start Limud HaTorah, because it's like a brand new world. B'gan Eden Mikadem. Thank you very much. Agun Shabbos.
Can I just take...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.